Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining me today with my guest, Terry Batch. She is the president and CEO of Global LA. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Marcia.
This is going to be really interesting. I'm really interested in what you're doing. Maybe we could start this way. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you, Terry Batch?
You know, that is a wonderful question. Who am I?
Who are you?
Just to give you a little a snippet of my background, I am not originally from California. I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Georgia, but I've been here for 25 years. So I consider myself, you know, I'm not native Angeleno, but I consider myself an Angeleno. I came here to study at USC, and I came here for grad school, and that was where I met my husband, and my husband grew up here. So I've been married now for over 2 decades, and we've made Southern California our home, so this is our home.
Nice. And, am I supposed to say fight on? Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's funny. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. That's what I do.
Oh, no, it's good.
Well, I think this is great. I think that, you know, I am an original Angeleno. I've lived in my home of Westchester and for my entire life. So, but I, you know, I think it's wonderful that you feel that you're now an Angeleno as well. And I mentioned that you are the president and the CEO of Global LA, which is a 501c3, and it's a public-private partnership, and it was established by the mayor's office. So when was it actually established, Global LA?
Well, you know, it was established probably a little bit over 2 years ago. They really started operating in 2022, and I have been in this role for this month. It'll be 1 year that I joined Global LA and took over as the president and CEO. So it's a fairly new organization. It's a new effort that was spearheaded and launched by the mayor's office, but it really is about the business community here in Los Angeles and welcoming the world to LA. As you know, we're going to be hosting the World Cup.
Yes.
We're going to be hosting the Olympics this summer. Olympic and Paralympic Games. So there's a lot of exciting things coming here, and this organization was set up to attract businesses ahead of those major events.
I love your website because Mayor Bass is standing there with the Olympic flag, and if, for those of you that are listening, you can just simply type in global.la, and it will take you straight to a website that I'm speaking about. So you were. What did you do before you were the CEO and the president of Global LA? What were you doing at that point?
Well, before I joined this organization, I was a federal employee. I worked for the federal government, and I worked for the U.S. Department of Commerce, and I worked in the Commerce Department. In the arm that did international trade, there's an International Trade Administration, and that is an organization that is set up to promote U.S. companies and represent the U.S. economic interest around the world. I worked there for over 20 years as well. As long as I've been here in L.A., after grad school, I had started working for them in the West Los Angeles office. And that what that organization also does is it has offices throughout the U.S., but also offices in our embassies and consulates around the world. And so I was working to promote mostly small and medium-sized businesses with exporting their products and services.
Wow, that's pretty cool. What did you major in college? I'm just curious.
You know, if I tell you what I majored in, you'll be like, and you started to do what?
No, I won't say that based on my own family. So what did you major in?
So I was a computer science major in undergrad.
Okay.
I actually studied computer science. This was in the 90s. I did that. But one of the interesting things I did when I was studying, and I went to Spelman College in Atlanta.
Yes.
Which is a historically black college, all female.
Yep.
And so one of the things that they did, and they still do this, they stress this a lot, is they want every student to have an international experience or to study abroad. And so when I was there, I studied abroad in China. I went to Beijing.
Wow.
And that was like the most, you know, eye-opening and just a really cool experience. And I started learning the language and learned more about the culture, the history, and all the things that make up the Chinese society, and so I was really interested in that. And I knew I wanted to do something international-based in my career. And so also while I was at Spelman, I got a fellowship, and this was with the U.S. Department of Commerce. That's how I got my foot in the door. But I got this fellowship my sophomore year, and it paid part of my undergrad, and it paid part of my grad school.
Wonderful.
So that was what led me to L.A. And while I was in L.A., I had a professor at USC that said, you should go and study in Taiwan. They have an excellent program there. And so that's what I did. I took a year and studied in Taipei and studied Mandarin full time. And so came back, graduated, and then started working for the Commerce Department. And I tell you, I kind of joke with people and I say, yeah, you know, I studied computer science. But computer science has served me well because it, you know, it really does teach you a way of thinking and problem solving. And so that has helped me throughout my career, and especially doing difficult things. That gave me the skill set that I needed to be able to break down complex problems. So it's, even though I don't program on a daily basis, I still use that, the skills that you learn in computer science.
It's very interesting. When I went to a school here in the Westchester community, it was a 100% white school. And when my children went there, it was a predominantly black student body. And so many kids went to the historical black colleges, like you mentioned, like Spelman. I mean, that is really... You've had an exceptional education, which obviously that background that's really helped you set up where you are right now, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything. When I look back over professionally and personally, all the different experiences I've had, it definitely led me to this role today. So I'm really excited to be able to do this work and to do it in Los Angeles, which is really special.
It's terrific. And I'm sure that, you know, you are still connected in some format with both of those universities, because I'm sure they're quite proud of their alumni that has attended and gotten their education there. But you've also you've been involved in DEI initiatives throughout your career. For those that don't know what DEI is, I'd like you to define that. But tell us more about that.
Yeah, sure. So DEI stands for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And and you know, it's really interesting. DEI has gotten a bad rap in the past couple of years. You know, there's been a lot of pushback against DEI activities. And I never started. You know, I've seen a lot of things play out. And it's funny, you know, I didn't consider myself a DEI expert or, I considered myself more of a practitioner in a sense. I think that everyone can be a practitioner of DEI and champion those efforts if that's something that they feel strongly about. But in my career, when I started, you know, I was used to being the only one. Right, that look like me, whether it's a woman or whether African-American. I mean, even here in Los Angeles, and a place as diverse as Los Angeles, I would find myself in rooms where I was the only woman or I was the only black person. you know?
Interesting.
So I didn't focus on that in my career and say, okay, this is going to be the thing I championed, but I always knew I was a representative in those spaces. And I was one of few. So I would say my involvement in becoming a practitioner in this space really started during the pandemic and also started after George Floyd, where, you know, we really looked around and questioned, you know, the work that we do and how we do it and who we do it for. And when I was at the Commerce Department, you know, we as in the Black employees within the Commerce Department all got together. One, we got together to check on each other because, you know, we were all stuck at home and, you know, we were all kind of trying to just weather the whole COVID pandemic. And then you had this heinous thing that happened, and there was no one talking about it in our organization. It was almost like leadership didn't even want to address it, but it was like it was major, right? You got people, it was all kinds of unrest. And so we started this effort and just to check on each other to see how one another were, how we were doing. And then we, you know, we set up a meeting with leadership and we said, hey, you know, this is something that's happening in our country and you guys are silent. I mean, you know, even when you say nothing, you're saying something. And so we got together to talk to our leadership. And I think they had expected us to come to them with a bunch of complaints, and which we didn't do that. We came to them with a bunch of suggestions for how, if they want to take this moment and not let it just be a moment, but let it be something that has lasting impact and also create a movement for, you know, so that all of this unrest wasn't in vain. And so we had suggestions for our leadership, and which they actually, some of the things they embraced, and eventually over time, all of it was embraced within the organization. So I'm like really proud to say that when I left the Commerce Department, I left it in a better state than when I found it and was able to create some lasting impact in the organization. And then also with women's initiatives, the unique thing about the Commerce Department right now, and I don't know if many people follow or even know, a lot of people don't know what the Commerce Department does because they have so many different agencies. Well, you know, it's a cabinet-level executive branch of the government organization, and there's 13 different bureaus or different agencies. So everything from the Census Department to NOAA, the National Oceanography and Atmospheric Administration, to the USPTO, you got all these different events, I mean, different organizations underneath the Commerce Department. So I always like to call it the hodgepodge of all the different federal agencies. Because if you think about justice, you know what the Justice Department do. If you think about Treasury, you know what Treasury does. If you think about State Department, you know what State Department does. But when you look at the Commerce Department, it's like, oh, my gosh, there's so many different things here. Like, how do they do all that they do? But it's a huge workforce, actually. And so right now within the Commerce Department is headed by a woman, Gina Raimondo, who's the Secretary of Commerce.
Cool.
And then in our organization, we had Marie Salago, who was the Undersecretary. So she's one step under the Secretary. And then we had quite a few women in strategic leadership roles kind of at the lower level, like our deputy, I can't remember all the different titles, but there were women in leadership, which was actually quite rare. So it was the first time that we had had an undersecretary as a woman for the International Trade Administration. It wasn't the first female secretary because we did have Penny Pritzker when Obama was president. But and then there was another, there was a few other women. We did all, I did all the research for how many women have served, you know, and it's been just a handful. Yeah, so it was just a unique moment. So I think with having women in high places like that, we kind of had a little leverage to be able to do programming focused on women-owned businesses. And so one of the things that I did then was we organized a big, This was in the pandemic. Everything was virtual. So we were doing what we were calling like chats, like coffee chats, basically. And we were focusing on the Middle East and Africa region, which at the time, the Deputy Assistant Secretary was a woman. And so that led up to us doing a whole program in Dubai focusing on connecting women in the U.S. with women from the Middle East and Africa. And so, and then that spurred other activities. So now when you look at the Commerce Department, some of their things that they do overseas, like there's always a woman empowerment component to a larger program that's happening. And I think it started in Dubai when we did that program in 2022. And then it's just spread to other markets and other regions of the world. I think I saw that they're doing a woman-owned, a woman-led or woman-owned business trade mission to Saudi Arabia later this year. And yeah, you would think, well, really, does would that work? And you'd be surprised in these areas of the world where you think women are so oppressed and, you know, disenfranchised. There are some powerhouse women in those regions of the world, and they're doing business, and they want to connect. They want to connect with other women, and it's a powerful thing when you bring women together. So I was really privileged to be able to do that kind of work when I was at the Commerce Department.
Well, it sure set you up for where you are today. My goodness. I mean, they must love having you. And I understand that you're supported by a number of L.A. Dynamic businesses dedicated as civic leaders and economic development organizations. Perhaps you can tell us more about this and who's involved in that.
Sure. So Global LA right now, it's myself, and I also have a dynamic advisory board of just of people from all sorts of backgrounds that are involved with helping me to propel this this organization forward. When the mayor's office started this initiative, they went to some of the largest organizations and most prominent businesses in Los Angeles and said, hey, we're going to do this effort. Will you get on board and support it? And they did. So some of the big names, say like Disney and Conrad Hilton Foundation and East West Bank and, you know, a lot of these well-known entities in Los Angeles got behind this and said, yeah, they would support it. So those were like the inaugural members. But then my advisory board are the folks that really kind of helped me propel and push this forward. So I have folks from all, and I've come in and restructured the board quite a bit since I started in the past year. But I have some just dynamic folks, women. We have women, we have minorities, we have just people from all walks of life, people that come hail from government, people that are entrepreneurs, people that run business business centers, you know, in areas and underserved areas, things like that. Folks that can really tap into the local community and understands what is needed to push things forward and to have economic development here in our city and across the region. So the people that are involved in this, they're all super dynamic, and I'm so thankful that they believe in this mission, and they really want to see Los Angeles seize the moment that we're being given by really a once-in-a-generation opportunity to host these events and also make lasting economic impact for our region.
Well, on your website, you do have, besides the picture of yourself as the president and CEO, you do have a diverse group of people that bring a lot of different experience to the table, which obviously is going to really make you all very, very successful. In economic development, is the root of the economy's vibrancy and vitality. How are you addressing the economic development?
So I will tell you, a lot of people don't understand foreign direct investment.
I feel like we're taking a master class. Thank you. Go ahead.
So foreign direct investment, believe it or not, is something that really spurs growth, economic growth. And there's a lot of foreign direct investment already in Los Angeles. And I think it's so prevalent that people don't even recognize it as being something that's foreign because it's just integrated into our local economy. And, you know, when you think about some of the businesses that have come here from other countries and they've set up a location and they've integrated well into our local ecosystem, you just don't think of them as foreign, because what foreign direct investment does is it's an investment that's coming from outside of our borders. But the reason why it's so attractive and the reason why every state and most major cities really go after this type of investment is because it creates local jobs. And, you know, you have a business that comes here, they set up, maybe they want to manufacture, mm-hmm. and maybe they want to use this as a distribution hub if they have a product, or if they're a major service provider, if they're a bank, for instance, like City National Bank is owned by Canada, the Royal Bank of Canada. You know, they have to hire locally. Yeah, that's the definition of foreign direct investment. So, you know, you have these entities that are here, and they contribute to our local economy, you know, and also when they leave, you know, if a company pulls out, those are jobs that are taken that go with it. So we right. want to attract businesses, and we want them to stay and continue to grow. A great example is a company called Takeda. They're a pharmaceutical company investment from Japan here. And it's been a long-standing company, but they're continuing to grow. They're increasing their manufacturing in the Los Angeles region. And they talk about why LA is so important to their business and using LA as a hub for not only the U.S., but also for the Western Hemisphere region. You know, we're at a crossroads between Latin America and Asia, where we sit. It's very strategic. So, you know, companies that come here, they not only leverage, you know, the talent that's here, because all of the major universities, we're constantly graduating great talent, but they also leverage the location and why this is such a strategic place to have a business and have a business that can grow as well.
Yeah, thrive, yeah. So what are you guys doing to promote this foreign direct investment and international collaboration?
So there's a lot of different things and a lot of different ways to do it. So one is that we have a very vibrant international community here in Los Angeles. You don't have to leave L.A. to access the world, which is what makes L.A. so attractive. L.A.
Right.
has 100, almost, I think they have 100 or almost 100 foreign consulates that are located here, either official consulates and honorary. So if you name it, we're the third largest consular district in the world after New York and Hong Kong. So there's a lot, the foreign community is very strong here. So engaging with them, because what they do, just like the Commerce Department for the U.S. government does and our embassies and consulates around the world, is they promote their companies to help them get market access or help them establish themselves here in Los Angeles. So they're a natural partner for Global LA to integrate with them and to work with them, as they know that some of the businesses that are coming from their countries and are looking to establish here, we can support them on that. The other thing in terms of international collaboration is using our own government, which is the Commerce Department where I come from, using the resources of the Commerce Department as we seek to attract investment from targeted countries. So a good example, and I think you're going to ask me a question later on about Paris and London. But
yes,
I
do
want to
ask you about
that,
yeah.
Yeah, so just the things that I'm able to do, that Global LA is able to do, is really by leveraging that network of offices around the world. And you would think, oh, well, don't you have to have staff or don't you have to have people? And it would be great to have an office for Global LA in key markets. But by not having that, we can leverage the federal government and the Commerce Department and their offices. So there's a lot of just that collaboration, both at the local level and making sure that there's support for their companies and access to resources and resources like the industry sectors, and, you know, companies have all sorts of different things that they need when they come here. So just kind of helping them navigate the space, and then also proactively being out there telling LA story and getting the word out that we welcome businesses here and this is an attractive place to come and establish yourself.
So are there specific industries that you are actually targeting?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's some key sectors. And, you know, the nice thing about L.A. and L.A. City, L.A. County, and Southern California in general is that we have every industry sector here. I mean, you name it, there are companies, there's clusters of companies here. And it's actually pretty difficult to narrow down. but we've narrowed it down to 6 major areas. And those key sectors, they're highlighted on our website. It's everything from sustainability and clean tech. We're a leader in clean tech and renewable energy technologies. Transportation and logistics, you know, anything dealing with, if you're looking for distribution or even moving, if you have technology that move products and things like that, with the busiest port in the Western Hemisphere and one of the busiest ports in the U.S., I mean, busiest airport, we move a lot of goods through Los Angeles. So anything in that space. Also, there's the entertainment space. I mean, we can't leave out entertainment, right? That's what we're known for. And tech. There's also tech. We kind of group those two together, but tech can be anything from AI to fintech. You know, there's also tech across all sectors. And then there's advanced manufacturing. We're the largest manufacturing base in the country as well. A lot of people don't realize that. The amount of manufacturing that's done here is staggering. And advanced manufacturing, so new types of technologies with robotics and all different sorts of things, that whether you're dealing with the aerospace sector or if you're dealing with cars and modeling and things like that. There's a lot of advanced manufacturing being done here. And then the biotech and life sciences, growing sector here in Los Angeles as well. You know, a lot of major firms that are located here already and a really strong ecosystem for life sciences. And then last but not least, the space and aerospace.
Yes,
and knowing that this region has thrived off of the aerospace sector since planes were invented, right? So, but then we've also taken it to another level in the space technologies as well. So if I had to break it down and say, okay, where is my areas of focus? It's in those 6. But you'll notice there's things like food and agriculture is also huge. Fashion and textiles, there's so many sectors that really make up our local economy that really we could focus on so many different things. But those are the ones that are priorities.
So are there certain countries that you're focusing on for direct investors to come to California?
Yeah, there are countries. I will tell you, and it's so funny when I start sharing the statistics with people, they're always kind of shocked because they don't know or they don't realize how much foreign direct investment is here already and who our top foreign direct investors are.
Right.
Can you guess who our top foreign direct investor is? Who do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't have a clue.
Really?
You tell me. You educate me.
I don't want to even take an educated guess. So like,
no, because I don't want to sound silly.
Well, I will tell you, based on the LA Economic Development Corporation, they do a study every year. Mm-hmm. And they put out a study on foreign direct investment for all of California. But they also they break down the data for Los Angeles County and also for Southern California. And they do it by number of entities that are here, the foreign-owned enterprises. And based on their data, the number one investor that's California, for Los Angeles County by the number of entities is Japan. They have over 1,000 different companies that are invested here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And number two is France. They have over they do this by jobs. Wait a minute. This is foreign-owned entities by source, by jobs. And then number three is the UK. And then it goes UK, Germany, Canada, South Korea. And this is LA County, by the way. South Korea, Switzerland, Taiwan, Ireland, and Mexico. Those are the top 10. Those are the top 10. And there's over 200,000 jobs in Los Angeles County is from foreign direct investment. And that's over 5,000 businesses here. 5,000.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Could you just, so as an example of Japan being number one, so are we talking about car manufacturers? What are we talking about? specifically?
It could be car manufacturers. Like when you think about Honda has its headquarters here and the hundreds of employees that they employ. I know Toyota pulled out, but they still have like their design and they do still have some other entities here in Los Angeles. So it's not just car. It's also, like I said, pharmaceuticals. Mm. It's all sorts of different industries. When you look at their data by major industries, their major industries is manufacturing is the number one. There's over 45,000 jobs in manufacturing by foreign-owned enterprises. Some of the other top is professional services. So that's where like banks and things like that fall, or legal services or accounting type organizations, or even like real estate, you know, those types of organizations. But then there's a lot of jobs also in the wholesale trade. So because of everything that's coming through our ports, you know, there's a lot of imports. I think the number is 60% of all imports come through Los Angeles.
Through our ports?
Into the U.S. market, comes through the port, the combined port of L.A. and port of Long Beach. So they're moving massive amounts of goods.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and there's been some controversy, right? There was going to be a strike. I don't think it ended up going through, but so
I think they had a strike for 2 days, and it was mostly the East Coast ports. It didn't affect our ports. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So everything, so things are being shipped in to these two ports, and so it's not coming through air travel. It's coming through big ships that are bringing these things through.
Yeah, some of it does. There's also a lot of cargo that comes through the airport. So, and those are mostly like high-value goods and also time-sensitive, like perishables. Like if you think about the flowers that are shipped here or different fruits and things like that are perishable really quick. A lot of those come through our port at LAX as well.
Okay.
So,
you mean like if something was coming in from Holland, you mean like, I mean, can you give me some examples of what that might look like?
Yeah. So like you said, Holland cut flowers. Yeah. And I think I can't remember which market it is. I want to say it's either like Peru or somewhere in South America where we bring in a lot of flowers. And those are flown in daily, you know, right through our airports. There's a place right near LAX, and it was so fascinating. It's like a flower mart. So it's a place where when they fly in from LA, fly into LA, they go through there's this warehouse there before they even get downtown to the flower market. And, you know, there's planes coming in every day bringing product, you know, and it could be, you know, it could be high value goods like, you know, like jewels and things like that, or, you know, the lower value and also bulkier items will come through the seaport. But the time sensitive stuff does come on planes. And obviously the shipping is more, but, you know, depending on the demand for a product, they can fly it in. And because we have one of the busiest airports, we have, you know, flights coming in from all over the world all the time.
That's right. I can, if we were silent for a moment and I opened up my windows in my office, you would hear the airplanes. I literally live that close to LAX. You can hear the planes taking off. I do.
Yeah.
And it's been that way since I was a child. We had to close our door when I was growing up because you couldn't hear our television because the airplanes were taking off over our homes, you know. And the airport bought a lot of those properties back where my parents used to live. But so, what about the technical side? You know, we're so into technical stuff right now. So, how does that technical side play a part in this?
What do you mean when you say technical side? Are you talking about like AI or?
Right.
What do you mean?
Just everything that we're doing today, you know, is so, you have to be so technically savvy. I mean, we can't go anywhere without our phones. You know, we can't, mm-hmm. you know, we do things now that we would have never even realized that we could do before, that we mm-hmm. We can be connected to people anywhere by just getting onto our phone and sending a text, you know. It's just interesting how we're able to we just function differently. And I think, you know, we are going to talk about the Olympics, but I think that it's business is very interesting. And I think when you say global, I think that that's a key word in describing, you know, this, your organization. And I'm just, why do you think that LA is so attractive to investment destinations?
Okay. Well, I'll answer that one, but let me address the technical aspect
yes,
of
please,
what you're saying.
Please.
And this is why I'm so glad I was a computer science major, because the technical part does not scare me. And I think a lot of times people get scared when you say something is tech related or, you know, oh, you need to be technically savvy. And actually, you really don't need to be technically savvy. If anything, you just need to stay up to date on, you know, for the longest time, it took me the longest to convince my husband to get an iPhone. He was stuck on a different type of phone, and I said, "Look, you're gonna have to convert over eventually." And he was like, "No," he was so used to, you know, actually feeling buttons, right? He didn't want a touch screen. He was like, "My fingers are too big. It's just not gonna work for me."
We ask Siri, we ask Alexa, we do all of this stuff now. It's at our fingertips, practically.
Right, you don't even have to type, really. But I remember when he got his first iPhone, and he was like, man, I should have done this a long time ago. And I think that's how I think about technology. I think when people finally actually use it, and I was like that about AI. I was like, oh, yeah, well, AI just seems so, you know, far-fetched. I just don't know. And then one of my friends told me, hey, if you need to write a letter, just put it in ChatGPT. It'll spit out a letter for you, like, in 10 seconds. And I was like, really? I was like, is it that easy? And then when I tried it, I was like, oh, man, I'm using this all the time. This is so much easier for me than to sit down and try to figure out how to create write everything and write it perfectly. I mean, obviously, you got to go back and check it and don't just hit send, but it does so much for us. And so, you know, from a technical, and when you think about this across borders, and this is why when the U.S. negotiate trade agreements, the idea of digital trade and digital transformation, that is a major part of all the negotiations when we're negotiating trade agreements. Because this is something that if you think about it 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, and some of these trade missions are, you know, they started in the 90s or whatnot. The internet didn't even exist.
Right.
And now, if you just have a website, you can pretty much consider yourself a global company because somebody can find you if you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the world is a lot smaller and it's a lot easier. There's still some complexities. But you don't have to, you know, we're not using snail mail. You can just send somebody an email, right? Or now you can just send them a text, or you just tag them on social media, and you can get in touch with people. You know, it's so much – people and information is so much more accessible, and that has affected how business operates as well. And, you know, so I think – and going back to your question, why is L.A. attractive?
Mm-hmm.
L.A. is attractive because, one, you have all of these universities here – that are teaching their major research institutions. So they're on the cutting edge of all of this technology, you know, Web 3.0 and all of these, you know, the next industrial wave, which will be digital. So you have the talent that you can tap into. And then also we have a very strong infrastructure, you know, from a digital standpoint, you know, we're not in a although there are parts of areas of Los Angeles that I will say that are digital deserts where they don't have the cable that has been laid. You have access. You definitely have access to the world right here from Los Angeles. And so it makes it a very attractive place. Now, you know, I paint a really rosy picture of Los Angeles. Now, there are difficulties, no doubt. you know, yes. our taxes are higher and things like that. We have major
cost of living.
Some major issues. The cost of living mm-hmm. is higher. But mm-hmm. I will tell you, when I talk to companies that want to come here, they know those things, but they still want to come because it's worth it for them to be in a place like LA and establish themselves and have access to all the other things that are positive that, like I've just mentioned. And also, mm-hmm. we have great weather and quality of life as well. You know, even
we
though
do.
It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you, but, you know, people
right.
would rather be here than, you know, in other places where it's, you know, it might be hard to get a flight out to wherever you're trying to go to, whereas there's always a flight leaving L.A. Or if you're trying to, you know, access services and things like that, there's tons of services and service providers here that can support you and your business. And that's where I want to just highlight or emphasize that when I try to explain to people the benefit of foreign direct investment, it also benefits small business. Because these mm-hmm. people that are coming in, that are setting up, they need the support of our local business community to help them,
yes.
to help them integrate. They might need marketing services. They might need
mm-hmm.
accounting services. They of course, are going to hire local people to help with running their business. And, you know, if they're a manufacturer, they're going to need, you know, workers to help manufacture whatever product. So there's so many net positives to
mm-hmm.
the local economy. And the benefits are, you know, definitely are evident when you look at what foreign direct investment does.
Well, and, you know, look at our Chamber of Commerces. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we have the LAX Chamber of Commerce. One of my closest friends
mm-hmm.
is the president of that. And trust me, they're really getting excited about the Olympics. And it's the Chamber
oh,
of
yeah.
Commerce office
mm-hmm.
is walking distance to the airport. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, all of these things. And, you know, if this is a large company, or regardless of the size, if you're doing something that's attracting quality employees, you're going to pay them appropriately as well, which also then supports our economy here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, are there some specific companies that you are looking at?
You know what? There are specific companies that I'm engaged with right now, but because they haven't announced that their investing is more confidential, but
okay.
I will just say
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I was joking.
there
just you
are,
and me.
We're
Starbucks. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I will just say there are companies that are looking. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to time it right. They're bringing investment dollars. They're looking
mm-hmm.
at, you know, one particular manufacturer that I know that is looking at this region because the strategic location, they need a huge facility. They also need it near rail so they can, you know, export their product out to other markets
sure.
and whatnot. So, yes, I mean, there are specific companies and, you know, some of the work that I did this summer, there's a program called Select USA that the Commerce Department puts on every year where they invite potential investors to the U.S., and I tell
mm-hmm.
you, that conference has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. This was my first time going since the Select USA program was started about a decade ago. I went
oh.
to the first one, and it was cool, but it wasn't as big and as vibrant as it was this past June when they had
mm-hmm.
over 5,000 participants. They had every state and territory in the U.S. was represented at that conference. California had
wow.
a huge delegation. There were over 28 entities from across the state that went to that. And and Global LA was represented along locally. We also had the city of Long Beach was there,
uh-huh.
the World Trade Center of Los Angeles, the Santa Clarita Valley had sent representation. So there really is, you want to get in front of these businesses and these folks and meet them early too, because we're trying to woo them here and we're competing with all the other states, right? We're
sure.
going to, we got to compete with, you know, I don't want to name any other states, but you know
sure.
who our competitors
There's
are.
Competition.
And
sure.
so, yeah, there is competition for these investors. And I will tell you that California booth stayed busy. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
like we were trying to ask people to please come talk to us. No, there were lines of people wanting to talk to us about California and from Northern California on down. And
mm-hmm.
I know we also had like Riverside and San Bernardino and San Diego and Imperial County. All of the the regions of Southern California were represented at this conference, and even some not other nonprofits and whatnot.
Wow,
and it's
cool.
And it's those types of programs where we talk one on one with the companies.
That's
and
great.
And so there were companies from all walks. And it's just, you know, they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out what makes the most sense. And
sure.
And a lot of them are like, they know they need to be in California. California
mm-hmm.
whether they're a tech company and they're looking
mm-hmm.
to expand their tech, or I had talked to like lifestyle type companies.
Right.
You know,
right.
where they promote health and wellness or
uh-huh.
It's just so many, there's just so many
sure.
different companies.
Yeah.
So and
well,
that's
you
a
mentioned
good thing.
Yeah, you had mentioned earlier about Paris and London and
mm-hmm.
promoting foreign and direct investments to LA. What were your takeaways from that experience?
So basically, while I was in Paris, what I did was I worked with the U.S. Embassy there, and these are some of my former colleagues at the Commerce Department.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
yeah.
it was nice to have a project with them. And we
mm-hmm.
did a breakfast meeting in the morning where
mm-hmm.
I did a pitch for Los Angeles. And,
good.
You know, they promoted it to their contacts, which, you know, the embassy has great contacts locally in Paris.
Sure.
And we probably had we had over 60, and I think there were 70, more than 70 that registered and more than 60 showed up to a breakfast meeting at 8:30 in the morning. And
cool.
they were all very interested in hearing about Los Angeles, hearing about, you know, how do they navigate Los Angeles, and then wanting to know about the Olympics coming. Some of these
yes.
companies were, you know, delivering services or doing things for the Olympics in Paris. And so they were like, well, we'd love to come and establish and do something here in L.A. So, you know, helping them to navigate that and following up with them. You know, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not like you talk to somebody one day and then the next day they're
right.
setting up their business in the U.S. So
that
it's
sense.
Being, yeah, having you know, a line of communication and being there to answer questions that they might have as they're trying to
mm-hmm.
figure out how do they make whatever happen they're trying to make happen.
Well, we're very excited about the Olympics coming in 2028. I remember when the Olympics were here many years ago, went to the, the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so in regards to the Olympics that's coming up, who are you involved with in that regards?
Well, you know, LA 28 is a partner for Global LA. So I'm connected to them, but definitely a very separate entity from LA 28.
Okay.
And they have their own challenge ahead of them in terms of delivering the games. And
mm-hmm.
and really the games in Los Angeles is being organized as a joint venture between the city of Los Angeles, so the mayor's office, and LA 28, which is a nonprofit that they set up to basically deliver with the Olympic Committee. So I'm in touch with those folks, and they
mm-hmm.
know about Global LA, and obviously the mayor's office does. But Global LA is a separate entity that just focuses on bringing in the international businesses. And, you know, and the other thing I will tell you, for the international businesses that are interested in coming to Los Angeles to do something with the games, it's important
mm-hmm.
for them to establish a local presence because they're giving preference to local businesses and helping to
sure.
deliver the games. So if you're a foreign entity, I mean, it's great. It's not like they're going to say, you know, no, you can't come here. They want you to establish here and be a part of our local economy when they're giving out contracts or whatnot. They're going to prioritize our local businesses. So I've even told a lot of the folks in Paris, I said, look, you need to find a partner. You got to partner
mm-hmm.
with local LA businesses. You can bring your expertise. You can also help them with building their capacity, especially if they're a small business. And you can bring also your know-how from delivering the games this summer. And so there's some great partnership potential there for local businesses to partner with those French companies or wherever they might be coming from.
Well, that's great. It's quite an organization. I mean, we have a wonderful mayor right now. I'm sure you work
mm-hmm.
closely with her. Is that correct?
Yeah, I work closely with her team. So unfortunately,
okay.
She's a very busy lady.
Is.
And so I'm fortunate that I work closely. Los Angeles has an Office of International Affairs, which is we're one of very few cities in the states, in the U.S., that has a deputy mayor for international affairs. So I work very closely with her team, and then I also work closely with the mayor's Office of Business and Economic Development, which is another entity that really focuses on the businesses and also small businesses in our area.
Well, that's interesting. I'm looking at your website, and I see that who some of your founding members were and some of your director circles, and I see that Annenberg Foundation is another part of your organization, isn't it?
They were the ones who definitely helped to provide the initial startup funding. And you know, because I'm still new in a sense. Now, I think after this month, I won't be able to say I'm new anymore, although I will still be fairly new at this effort. So really, when I came in, I wanted to show them, because the organization was dormant most of last year after the previous CEO left, I wanted to show them what Global LA can do and what is capable of doing in terms of attracting foreign direct investment, because I want to have their continued support for this type of initiative, this type of program, because it's heavily reliant on donations and our philanthropic community as well as the city and even our businesses to get behind it and support it.
What about the local sports? Because I'm a big sports fan. I see you got Magic Johnson on your page. How does the sports world get involved with what you're doing, do they?
Well, yeah. I've been reaching out to our local teams. So we currently have LA Football Club. LAFC is a member. They're one of the founding members. And I've been talking to everyone from the Chargers and the Rams. I've made contact with like the Lakers and the Clippers. So we've got major teams here. I mean, and they're global brands. And even the Dodgers, right? With all that they're doing, those are global brands. Those are the things that LA is known for as well. I think if you think about the entertainment sector in Hollywood is one.
Right.
And then there's our sports team. Those are the things when people think LA, they think. So they're a part of that story that's being told about the city and making sure that, you know, we're leveraging their popularity and using that as a mechanism for attracting business. And I'm glad you saw Magic Johnson on our site. He's an ambassador for Global LA, and he believes in the mission of what we're doing, which is attracting business. But also the other thing that I don't think I've highlighted enough is we're not just attracting business for the sake of businesses coming, but we're really trying to have businesses come into communities that need it the most, and attracting businesses in underserved communities that need the investment too. So, you know, we want to create jobs in underserved communities and communities that have been overlooked and not even thought about. Like, you know, people know L.A., they know Hollywood, and Hollywood is actually a depressed area, but they don't know some of these other parts of our city, like in South L.A. or East L.A., and we want to make sure when an investor is coming here that they're considering all that L.A. has to offer and making sure that we're creating jobs in places that, you know, again, that need it the most.
You know, you mentioned Magic because I saw his picture there, but I happen to be a Clippers fan, and I don't think there's a more remarkable person than Steve Ballmer as the owner of the Clippers, and he's just, you know, opened that into a dome. But to me, he just seems like a genuine person that would just be phenomenal to have involved. So for people that are listening,
have his contact, if he's listening to your show, I would love him to reach
out. That be
or
great.
Have people.
Yes, well, I'll see what I actually have a greater context to the Sparks, but that's the season's over right now. But that's our women's basketball here.
Yes.
But so if people are listening right now and they'd like to get involved, what would be your recommendation for how they could do that?
Well, they can send me an email. They can just send an email to info@global.la. And they can say, hey, Terry, I heard your interview or your discussion mm-hmm. with Marcia on the website. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see how I can get involved. And then we'll set up a conversation, and I can talk
nice.
To them and see kind of how would they like to be involved. I have literally talked to hundreds of people this
I
first
bet
year
you have.
In this role. Yeah, I've talked to so many people, and I'm really trying to take all of that energy and that interest and like, channel it so that we
mm-hmm.
can have ways in which people can be a part of this movement and really, you know, this be, like, a groundswell of support for how L.A. attracts businesses here and using this moment, which this is a once-in-a-generation moment where we're hosting the World Cup, we're hosting the Olympics and the Paralympics. How do we take that and make sure our communities are impacted in a positive way? And so that takes the community being involved with it. So
well,
they can
and, you know,
reach
I was
out
just...
to me at that website.
Perfect. Well, the other thing I was thinking, I'm just making on this on another personal note, is that I live 3 blocks from Loyola Marymount University.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever spoken to anybody over there?
I, in this role, I haven't been in touch with anyone
at
Loyola.
Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah. I have in the past worked a little bit with their business school, and
uh-huh.
I know that they're very involved in global. Their dean is very much in tune
mm-hmm.
with global business for their students. But, yeah, I think they're a wonderful institution, and we'll welcome partnering with them at any time.
Well, and like I said, like I mentioned, the Chamber of Commerce is, I'm sure that that's very big, that you would want to be in front of organizations that, you know, not just maybe the LAX Chamber, but other Chamber of Commerces in our community, right?
Absolutely. I will just say highlight that when I went to Paris and London, I had a representative from the Hollywood Chamber join me, and they were
wonderful.
Part of the pitch. Yeah, so definitely the smaller chambers, you know, and not smaller in that they're not as significant, but they're definitely important in the local communities in which they represent.
Mm-hmm.
And I have
mm-hmm.
Met with the LAX Chamber. I actually went to one of their events recently.
Really
cool. Just trying to make sure that we are representing all of Los Angeles, and LA is just such a massive place.
It is.
But making sure that everybody is included in the conversation when we're promoting LA to a foreign audience, that people
mm-hmm.
really feel like they're a part of the story, right?
You bet.
And not left out. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you know, I don't know. What is there anything up next for you? Do you have time to breathe? I mean, do you do yoga? Do you do anything to just sort of like balance your professional life and your private life? How do you just sort of like,
absolutely.
Whew, do it? What
absolutely.
Do you do? Do you walk?
I do. I walk. I work out. Although
good.
I did miss my workout this morning, I think my trainer is going to be looking at me sideways. I try to stay connected with my community. I'm very
good.
Much so connected with my own faith community. So very active there. I have a husband and kids. So you know they.
Oh, you have kids too.
If kids
okay.
don't do anything else, they keep you balanced, right? They definitely,
well, they,
you know,
yes.
keep you humble.
They do. Do you
yeah.
ever go to
mm-hmm.
things like, I mean, I'm a Rotarian. Do you ever go to those kind of meetings and talk about what you do?
I would love to. You know, I did reach out, and we can maybe have a conversation offline.
Yes.
I
yes,
reached
we
out
can.
To one of them, and they told me no because it's a membership-driven organization. So
yeah.
I need to figure out how to
approach
them. I
have a connection for you.
Our
district governor, Albert Hernandez, would be an ideal person for you to speak with about, because Rotary supports these kinds of things as well.
Right.
You know, because
absolutely.
you're going to need a ton of volunteers. Not, you know,
yes.
I mean, I understand that's not your line right now. You're looking at for investments. I understand that. And so I suppose maybe that's where the, I don't know, maybe that's where that gets a little confusing if you're asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been why Rotary might have said something. I don't want to speak for Rotary directly.
Yeah,
but
and you know, I didn't follow up, like, and try to push back and say, no, you, I really want to just talk to your members. But definitely, I would definitely want to include them. I've had a couple people mention the Rotary to me.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of wonderful groups here in Los Angeles.
You bet.
Everything from the World Affairs Council, that's very active. We have the International Citizens and Diplomacy of LA, which is like a State Department where they're bringing in visitors all the time from around the world. There's such an active international community. So I consider all of those partners of Global LA and the champions for really representing Los Angeles to the world. And you know, and making it a hospitable place where people will want to come and do business, and also to live, right? To live and to thrive here in our region.
You bet. Well, this is I knew this hour would fly by, because I mean, this is so apparent to me how dedicated you are to what you're doing, but how experienced you are at what you're doing. I mean, Global LA is very lucky to have you in that organization as their president and CEO. So I just, Terry, I just want to thank you very much for spending this hour with me. I've learned a lot. I think our listeners have learned a lot. They can reach out to you through the emails. I will obviously have your website available on my blog when we're through with our conversation, so that people can reach out to you and learn more if they would like to be involved. So I just want to say thank you so very much for being with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for just giving me this opportunity to not only talk about Global LA, but also just talk about myself and let people get to know me. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Well, everybody, this is the first Monday in October, and there's more to come. So thank you all for listening. I'm going to let Terry get on with her busy day, and I appreciate all of you for listening. Bye for now, everybody.
All right. Are you there?
You can say goodbye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.